Hello, and welcome back to Three Things. I am your humble hostess, Jenna, and I have missed you so badly. Well, unless you just have started listening to Three Things, in which case I have looked very forward to your arrival. Gosh, I've done this whole every 2 weeks thing with the show, and though I have more time to find and research stuff for the show, as well as spend some me time, whatever that means, I kind of miss that whole every Friday thing. I'll give this another month or so, and we'll see how it goes. In the meantime, let's not forget this episode, on which I will answer a few cues from interested listeners, do a little pros and cons about men's versus women's, and outline the inexplicably unexplainable, because that's always fun. Shall we?
She won your heart as the miracle worker. Despite her handicaps, she left behind a lifetime of achievements. And now, with the discovery of rare audio tapes found in a basement somewhere in New Jersey, Def Jam Records makes available to you, Helen Keller Sings the Blues. A series of recordings from the 1950s by Helen Keller herself, wailing out a pound of sound. To order yours, have your credit card ready, and call 1-800... Order now and get a bonus disc of duets by Marley Matlin and Johnny Ray.
Thing one today is questions answered. Okay, I get lots of emails from listeners these days, and it's great, and I love reading them, and I appreciate each and every one of them. Thank you to all that send them. Also, people ask me lots of questions. Some of those questions are far too racy to even speak of here, and I'm no prude, but lots of the questions I get asked are fun and interesting. And a lot of them get asked over and over. I think it might be a good time to answer the most common questions that I get asked, so here goes. 1. Where do you get your ideas for the things you do on the show? Gah, only knows. You may have noticed that I bounce around a lot from subject to subject and genre to genre. I guess the things I do on the show kind of reflect what has gone on in the world around me, or at least what I noticed went on. When something catches my attention, I tend to research it as best I can, just to learn, because I like that, and I've always been that way. 2. Are your eyes really that green? Yes. Yes, they are. My actual eyes are actually that actually for real swan to god green. 3. Do you make money from the show? Not at present, but it isn't because I can't. There are advertisers that want to advertise on shows like mine, and one day perhaps I'll let them do that. But Three Things started out as a labor of love, and I like it that way. Doesn't mean it won't change sometime, but... Question number 4. Are you single? Yes, yes I am. I am a widow, in fact, and have been for a few years now. Question 5. Are you a writer, too? Yes, I am a writer, besides, of course, writing and producing this show. I write poetry and science fiction and fantasy. I've also written mystery and some technical stuff. And I edited for a long time, too, but I had to stop as it was beginning to make me feel mean. And I don't like to feel mean. You can see some of my work on a website of mine, genimations.com. It has links and stuff. 6. Do you have kids? Yes, yes, I do have kids, and lots of them. Happily enough for me, they are grown up now, and homie likes that. 7. Do you like dogs? I love dogs. I have a border collie that's a complete sweetheart. I also like cats. Black ones. And lastly, Here are a few quick answers you can probably discern the questions to. The darkest blue you can imagine. In California on a Marine base, and then Texas. Godzilla movies. Italian, Mexican, and Chinese. Red over white. Beef over chicken. Winter over summer. Rock and roll over rap. English over mathematics. Astronomy over astrology. Yes, no, and maybe. So there you are. Lots of stuff most people just don't care to know, but some did. Now, enough about this whole me thing. Let's talk about you. Our G-W-O-D for the day starts with you. No, not you. You. Our word today is uranomania. It is a noun. It is spelled U-R-A-N-O-M-A-N-I-A. It is pronounced uranomania. And it is defined as the delusion that one is of heavenly or extraterrestrial descent, or a madness believed to be caused or inspired by God, or an obsessive delusion that one is God. I know someone kinda like that. His name is George. He talks to God, you know. Hey, here's something he might say using our G-W-O-D today. Now, I know you all think I suffer from uranomania, but God told me that isn't true at all. See? See, that's something he might just say when backed into a corner, or maybe when attacked, or maybe when he's just out of chili. One never knows. And there we are, and that's that for this G-W-O-D. For more fantabulous and achingly beautiful words like this one, visit the Grandiloquent Dictionary online, the link to which can be found on the homepage of this show, threethings.podomatic.com. Go check it out. And thing number two for today is a little bit about, the pros and cons, I guess you'd say, about men versus women. I'm not saying either one is better than the other, or that either one is any worse than the other. Just that there are differences. Like, men keep their last name, but when a ship sinks, women, and children of course, get off first. The garage is all for the men, but women live longer than men and can cry and get off a speeding ticket. For men, wedding plans take care of themselves, which is nice, but women know who their children are without having a DNA test. Chocolate is just another snack to men, but there are times when chocolate really is the answer to all a woman's problems. Men can be president. Wait, women can too. And women don't have to worry about catching anything important in their zipper. And women know exactly what buttons to push to get exactly what they want. Oh, and women are capable of doing at least two things to a passable standard at the same time. Beat that, fellas. Men can wear a white t-shirt to a water park, but women can talk to attractive members of the opposite sex without having to picture them naked. Car mechanics may tell men the truth, but only women know the truth about whether size matters. The world is a man's urinal, but a woman can never be blamed if it's wet on the floor around the toilet bowl. Men never have to drive to another gas station because this one's just too icky, but a woman can take a drive without trying to beat her best time. For men, same work, more pay, but then women don't feel threatened if their partner earns more than they do. Wrinkles add character for men, and they don't have to shave below their neck, but women aren't covered with hair like shag carpeting, and if a woman forgets to shave, no one has to know. People never stare at men's chests when we're talking to them, but women can wear platforms, which is why there's no such thing as a short woman's complex. New shoes don't cut, blister, or mangle men's feet, but a woman can fully assess a person just by looking at their shoes. Men have one mood all the time, but women are lucky because a woman can get a whole new lease on life just by changing her lipstick. For males, phone conversations are over in 30 seconds flat, but if a woman inexplicably disappears for 2 weeks, one of her friends will notice. Men know stuff about tanks, but women are more fuel efficient and therefore smarter. They won't drive all the way to hell and back before asking for directions. For men, a 5-day vacation requires only one suitcase, one wallet, and one pair of shoes. One color for all seasons. But for women, a new season means a whole new wardrobe. Men can open their own jars, but a woman can keep a potted plant alive for more than a week. Men get extra credit for the slightest act of thoughtfulness, but then if a woman cheats on her spouse, everyone will assume it's because she was being emotionally neglected. If someone forgets to invite a guy, he or she can still be their friend, but then women never have to lust after a cartoon character or the central figure in a computer game. Men's underwear may be $8.95 for a 3-pack, but lucky women have total control over their eyebrows. Everything on a male face stays its original color, but women know how to cover up spots and other facial blemishes, and women can get drunk cheaper and quicker. Men don't have to stop and think of which way to turn a nut on a bolt. But then, if a woman says something stupid, most men will just think she's cute. And it's okay anyway, because women can admit to others when they've made a mistake. Men almost never have strap problems in public and are unable to see wrinkles in their clothes, but a woman can hug her best friend without worrying that she'll think she's gay, and a woman can congratulate her teammate without ever touching her butt. For men, the same hairstyle lasts for years, maybe even decades. But women don't feel uncomfortable with gay waiters or hairdressers. For men, tux rental, $100, 3 pairs of shoes are more than enough. Men's bellies can hide their big hips. They can do their nails with a pocket knife. They have freedom of choice concerning growing a mustache. And they can do all of their Christmas shopping for 25 relatives on December 24th in 45 minutes. But for women, although a wedding dress might cost $5,000, women mature earlier than men, because some men never mature at all, and women are capable of going longer than 5 minutes without thinking about either sex or football, and women can be groupies, but male groupies are called stalkers. Also, women can watch one television channel at a time without getting bored. A woman's friend won't ever try to persuade her to get a tattoo while she's drunk. And women don't think reading the manual is a betrayal of all their species stands for. After listing all of these pros and cons, I'm glad I'm a woman. You hear me roar and stuff. But I have to say that I love men for all their silliness and manliness and guyness. Vive la différence!
With free interplanetary calling daily after lunch and more free minutes than there are in a month. My little camera takes pictures that it sends to all my friends. 35 megapixels and a telephoto lens. 3D and night vision, all standard I suppose. But I paid extra for the lens, it lets me see through your clothes. I can use it as a remote to control my TV and even download all my favorite songs as MP3. And the quality astounds, it's in full surround sound. But I don't know how to change the Hello Kitty background. GPS, email, all that stuff ain't enough. This phone deflects bullets for when calling gets tough. It does just about anything at all. But I can't make a damn phone call. Can you hear me now?
What the hell did he say?
Can you hear me now?
What the hell did he say?
Can you hear me now?
What the hell did he say?
Can you hear me now?
What the hell did he say?
Can you hear me now?
What the hell did he say?
Can you hear me now? It's amazingly small and has all the latest tech, and attaches to my chest like they do on Star Trek. And you gotta check out the holographic display. It's telepathic, pornographic, it will make you obey. Text messaging used to be a pain, but now it's easy, cause the words are pulled directly from my brain and translated into any language 37 ways. And did I mention the protection against UV rays? It keeps me online anywhere that I am, so I can download porn from in a traffic jam and have the coolest chats where I pretend to be an elf with an FBI agent who pretends he's 12. My ringtone catches most folks by surprise. Out of nowhere you hear,
"Smell my nipple, win a prize."
And I can make a sound that repels bugs, and if I turn it up, I can drive my relatives nuts. I can call through time, I can talk to the dead, I can pretend that I'm a Borg and attach it to my head. I can play back every phone call I ever heard.
Please try again later. Goodbye.
But I can't understand a damn word. Can you hear me now?
What the hell did he say?
Can you hear me now?
What the hell did he say?
Can you hear me now?
What the hell did he say?
Can you hear me now?
What the hell did he say?
Can you hear me now?
What the hell did he say?
Can you hear me now?
Thank you for calling Phototron Global Wireless, a leader in cellular technology. How may I assist you today?
Well, you can start with this piece of phone you sold me. But up along with everything you told me. You stupid think you're all so slick. Well, you nerds can all just suck. And a 10-year contract, what the fuck is that? It's bull. You can just my left. Go yourself. The horse you... Poisonberry pot.
I'm sorry, sir. You're breaking up. Please call back at a later time or try calling us back from a landline.
No!
And now for the TDIH. This day in history. I try to keep them short and sweet and pick only the most interesting bunch of stuff, like these people that were born on this day, February 2nd, in history. In 1649, Benedict the 13th, Pier Francesco Orsini of Italy, he was the 245th Pope from 1724 to 1730, was born. Carol V. Gerritsen, Dutch freethinker, was born in 1850. 1861, Solomon R. Guggenheim, the philanthropist who died aboard the Titanic, was born. 1861 also welcomed into the world Mehmed VI. He was the last sultan of the Ottoman Empire from 1918 to 1922. 1955, Brent Spiner was born in Houston, Texas. He's the actor that played Data on Star Trek The Next Generation. In the future, on this date, the year 2338 that is, Data, the aforementioned android character on Star Trek Next Generation, was born, or will be born, or made, or created, whichever. People that died on February 2nd include Rudolf III. He was the last independent king of Burgundy. He died in 1032. In 1435, Johanna II, lawless queen of Naples from 1414 to 1435, died at the age of 61. In 1907, Dmitry Mendeleev, the Russian chemist known for his work on the periodic table, died at the age of 72. And in 1969, Boris Karloff, his last name was really Pratt, died at the tender age of 81. Then in 1979, Sid Vicious, bassist for the Sex Pistols, died of a heroin overdose at 31. Boy, was that stupid. And in 1981, Donald W. Douglas, the U.S. aircraft pioneer and builder, died. He was 88. And then in 1996, we lost the lovely and talented Gene Kelly. He was 83. Speaking historically about this day, February 2nd, in the year 506, King Alaric II of Visigoten delegated Lex Romania Visigotherum out. In 962, Pope John XII crowned King Otto I, the great emperor. In 1119, Guido de Borgogna was elected Pope Callistus II. And in 1536, Pedro de Mendoza found the Argentine city of Buenos Aires. 1635 saw New Amsterdam become a city. That city later became New York, New York. In 1802, the first leopard was exhibited in the United States in Boston. Admission was 25 cents. And in 1829, madman Jonathan Martin set York Cathedral afire. It did 60,000 pounds in damage. In 1848, the Treaty of Guadalupe Hidalgo ended the Mexican War, and the U.S. acquired Texas, California, New Mexico, and Arizona for $15 million. Interestingly enough, in 1852, the first British public men's toilet opened. That was on Fleet Street in London. 1863 saw Samuel Clemens become Mark Twain for the first time, and then in 1870, Mark Twain, then 34, married Olivia Langdon in Elmira, New York. It was in 1870 that the Cardiff Giant, a supposed petrified human, was proved to be made of gypsum, the big liars. Then, in 1893, the first movie close-up was made. It was a sneeze. Ugh. That happened at Edison Studio in West Orange, New Jersey. In 1932, Al Capone was sent to prison in Atlanta, Georgia. 1935 saw the lie detector test used for the first time in court. That was in Portage, Wisconsin. In 1960, Mikhail Eufemia sank 625 balls in a pool match without a miss. In 1962, 8 of 9 planets, which are now actually only numbered 8, aligned for the first time in 400 years. It was way back in 1977 when Radio Shack officially began creating the TRS-80 computer, and look at us now. And then, in 1992, the IRS and Willie Nelson settled on a $9 million tax bill. That was a settlement from $16 million. Woo! Boy, am I glad I'm not a funny-looking, long-haired, belt-wearing, hippie-type crossover star with a big-ass tax bill. Aren't you? Hey, did you know that February is Black History Month? And thing number 3. 10 things that caught my eye this past week, and I'm going to share them with you. These are just the bestest sort of things to me. They are the unexplained things. First, there's what is known as the Taos Hum. Some residents and visitors in the small city of Taos, New Mexico, have for years been annoyed and puzzled by a mysterious and faint, low-frequency hum in the desert air. Oddly, only about 2% of Taos residents report hearing the sound. Some believe it is caused by unusual acoustics. Others suspect mass hysteria or some secret, sinister purpose. Whether described as a whir, hum, or buzz, and whether psychological, natural, or supernatural, no one has yet been able to locate the sound's origin. And then there is the ever-popular Bigfoot. For decades, large, hairy, man-like beasts called Bigfoot have occasionally been reported by eyewitnesses across America. Despite the thousands of Bigfoot that must exist for a breeding population, not a single body has ever been found. Not one has been killed by a hunter, struck dead by a speeding car, or even died of natural causes. In the absence of hard evidence like teeth or bones, support comes down to eyewitness sightings and ambiguous photos and films. Since it is logically impossible to prove a universal negative, science will never be able to prove that creatures like Bigfoot and the Loch Ness Monster do not exist, and it is possible that these mysterious beasts lurk far from prying eyes. People used to get hanged for having and demonstrating something we like to call intuition. Whether we call it gut feelings, a sixth sense, or something else, we have all experienced intuition at one time or another. Of course, gut feelings are often wrong. How many times during aircraft turbulence have you been sure your plane was going down and it didn't? But they do seem to be right much of the time. Psychologists note that people subconsciously pick up information about the world around us, leading us to seemingly sense or know information without knowing exactly how or why we know it. But cases of intuition are difficult to prove or study, and psychology may be only part of the answer. Something that has always interested me to no end are mysterious disappearances. People disappear for various reasons. Most are runaway, some succumb to accident, a few are abducted or killed, but most are eventually found. Not so with the truly mysterious disappearances. From the crew of the Marie Celeste to Jimmy Hoffa, Amelia Earhart, and even Natalie Holloway, some people seem to have vanished without a trace. When missing persons are found, it is always through police work, confession, or accident, but never by psychic detectives. But when the evidence is lacking and leads are lost, even police and forensic science can't always solve the crime. And now for ghosts. From the Shakespeare play Macbeth to the TV show Medium, spirits of the dead have long made an appearance in our culture and folklore. Many people have reported seeing apparitions of both shadowy strangers and departed loved ones. Though definitive proof for the existence of ghosts remains elusive, sincere eyewitnesses continue to report seeing, photographing, and even communicating with ghosts. Ghost investigators hope to one day prove that the dead can contact the living, providing a final answer to the mystery. Ooh, I've been here before. I am experiencing déjà vu. Déjà vu is a French phrase meaning already seen, referring to the distinct, puzzling, and mysterious feeling of having experienced a specific set of circumstances before. A woman might walk into a building, for example, in a foreign country she'd never visited, and sense that the setting is eerily and intimately familiar. Some attribute déjà vu to psychic experiences or unbidden glimpses of previous lives. As with intuition, research into human psychology can offer a more naturalistic explanation, but ultimately the cause and nature of the phenomenon itself remains a mystery. Next, we have the mythos surrounding UFOs. There is no doubt that UFOs, unidentified flying objects, exist. Many people see things in the sky that they cannot identify, ranging from aircraft to meteors. Whether or not any of those objects and lights are alien spacecraft is another matter entirely. Given the fantastic distances and effort involved in just getting to Earth from across the universe, such a scenario really seems unlikely. Still, while careful investigation has revealed known causes for most sighting reports, some UFO incidents will always remain unexplained. I have heard many stories of near-death experiences and life after death. People who were once near death have sometimes reported various mystical experiences, such as going into a tunnel and emerging in a light, being reunited with dead loved ones, or a sense of peace and things like that, that may suggest an existence beyond the grave. While such experiences are no doubt profound, no one has returned with proof or verifiable information from beyond the grave, although I don't know who or how they would verify that. Skeptics suggest that the experiences are explainable as a natural and predictable hallucination of a traumatized brain, yet there is no way to know with certainty what causes near-death experiences or if they truly are visions of the other side. And that connects, in a way, sort of, I think, with psychic powers and ESP. psychic powers, and extrasensory perception, ESP, rank among the top 10 unexplained phenomena, if for no other reason than that belief in them is so widespread. Many people believe that intuition is a form of psychic power, a way of accessing arcane or special knowledge about the world or the future. Researchers have tested people who claim to have psychic powers, though the results under controlled scientific conditions have so far been negative or pretty darned ambiguous. Some have argued that psychic powers cannot be tested, or for some reason diminish in the presence of skeptics or scientists. If this is true, science will never be able to prove or disprove the existence of psychic powers. And that brings us to the body-mind connection. Medical science is only beginning to understand the ways in which the mind influences the body. The placebo effect, for example, demonstrates that people at times can cause a relief in medical symptoms or suffering by believing the cures to be effective, whether they actually are or not. Using processes only poorly understood, the body's ability to heal itself is far more amazing than anything modern science could create. I can see that there is still lots to explore on this old darling earth of ours, not to mention beyond it, so I think I'll get to work on that right after I finish this thing number 3, for today. Well, that's today's show done with. I was Jenna, your hostess for 3 things. Well, I'm still Jenna and really want to remain so and stuff. I trust you all enjoyed this episode of the show. You know, I hope it inspired, entertained, enlightened, or even educated. That's always the goal. I'll be back in 2 weeks' time. That'll be Friday, February the 16th, and I look forward to seeing you come back for a listen. Goodness knows what I'll come up with to share with you, but I'll try to make it good for you, I promise. In the meantime, always think of others before yourself, but don't forget, when you're brushing your toothies in the morning, or brushing that lovely and luxurious hair of yours, or popping a zit or two in the mirror, don't forget to take a nanosecond or 3, that would be anywhere from 3 to 9 shakes of a lamb's tail, just for your information, and look at yourself in that mirror. Give yourself one of those quick nods of approval. Forgive yourself and be happy. Good day.